WATB Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. This is a WATB disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, Bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Welcome, my friends, to the Texas Power Hour with Pastor Carolyn Sism and friends. This radio show is an outreach ministry of Eastgate Ministries in Katy, Texas. Experience the power. Experience the glory with Pastor Carolyn Sism.
Okay. We want to say good morning to all of our friends on Facebook, and we're at Romans 8, which is, and the name of the message is the Spirit of Life. Romans 8 is the blessed mountaintop of Romans. It may be a mountaintop of the whole Bible, but then whenever I'm preaching, I kind of say that's my favorite scripture. Y'all heard me say that more than once. It's my favorite scripture. Because we have His Spirit of Life in us. The soul is not now our life stream. We are no longer living in it or drawing from it, and we should not be. We use it. We come to live our life in the Spirit and by the Spirit. And that is my whole desire. Just let me live in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Lord, lead me by your Spirit. Mm-hmm. Let me do whatever the Spirit of God is doing. We will use our soul faculties just as we do our physical faculties. But now we're servants of the Spirit. And we have yielded our members, which is our body and soul, mind, will, and emotions, to be led by the Holy Spirit. When we yield to this grace, then we're vessels ready for the Master's use. Then we're ready for the Master's use. When you get to the place where your soul is not ruling you, where every time someone does something naughty or mean, and they're going to always do it, especially if you're in the ministry, you don't get upset and it shuts you down and you can't keep going. Mm-hmm. So when we're ready to say, okay, I'm going to hit my soul, I've got to yield this to grace, then the Lord can use this. But if they get to you, you're disqualified. Mm-hmm. You're disqualified. If somebody gets to you, you're not qualified to minister to them. Right. turned over to somebody else. As we made the journey through Romans by faith, we have accepted our forgiveness, been declared righteous, delivered from sin's power, delivered from the law, and we've done all this in a few weeks, so we're here we are, we're there, right? We're sanctified by the word, justified by faith, and we're consecrated. Now we come to the pathway of regeneration, adoption, the knowing that we shall be saved from the presence of sin. The Holy Spirit outpoured, the Holy Spirit indwelling, and glorification as sons of God. Whom he justified, he also glorified. God's purpose in creation and redemption is to make Christ the firstborn son among many sons. The Holy Spirit is for all. It is to prove his goodness and greatness, not ours, or not how great his gifts are in us, except to reveal Jesus Christ. Christ has been crucified, therefore we have been forgiven. If we receive him as our Lord and Savior, and we receive that he is Christ. Christ has been glorified, therefore we have been endued with power from on high, and we can walk and move and live in the glory of God on this side of the grave, just as he has been crucified and we have been forgiven because he has been glorified. We are called to walk in the glory of God on earth as it is in heaven. God's gifts are freely given. Anyone upon whom the Holy Spirit falls will unfailingly know it. And praise God when it was poured out on us. I mean, we could fly. We could not touch the earth. We knew everything. We had it all. We could tell you we did. We were ready to save the whole earth. And then God began to show us what we didn't know. And how we had not yet arrived. But we still had that sweet Holy Ghost leading us. The outward evidence may be many and varied, but the Spirit is one and he is Lord. There is the sevenfold Spirit of God in Isaiah 11, 1 through 5. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That would be Jesus. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. He is also the Holy Spirit of the truth. He is the Spirit of holiness. He is our Holy Spirit of comfort. He is the Spirit of promise, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of glory, and I mentioned earlier the Spirit of adoption. And we're going to talk about that a little bit in Romans. How the Bible says it. There is the Holy Spirit of adoption, where we are adopted into the family of God. The Spirit of wisdom, and that list is inconclusive. Romans 8, 1 through 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. There is no one on planet Earth who is qualified to condemn you. Once you have received Jesus Christ and you're walking after the Spirit, no one is qualified to condemn you, nor do we condemn. I think Sonia asked me the question, but there was some witchcraft that was exposed of people speaking, and these were spirit-filled Christians who were speaking evil. One of the things came out of the conference. She asked me about it on the way home. I said, yes, we're spirit-filled. We have power of the Spirit in us. We speak life or we speak death. If we open our mouth and curse people, it's witchcraft. If we open our mouth and condemn people as witchcraft, criticize people as witchcraft, the reason why we're told that to watch our mouth. Power of life and death is in the tongue. It's very important thing. If we're going to be talking about it, I'm sure I'm going to be in the days ahead. I highlighted that on me last night about the operations of God over the gifts that are given to the church. These first four verses conclude what Paul was saying in chapter 7. When a toddler first learns to walk, he falls less and less as his walk is strengthened. Okay? Y'all never been a toddler, I was. All the time picking up, going up, getting it straight. God is not interested in the number of times his children fall down, but the number of good steps they take and how many times they get up. People have fallen down and they haven't gotten up. And they're still in that state. And those are the people that you're called to minister to. You want to be a minister of the gospel? There are hundreds of people who are hurting churches out there. They won't come to church because somebody thought it was their job to tell them off in the church. Or to get them straightened out. Or to tell them, bless God, blah, 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 blah. That's not our job, church. If we want to minister, we're going to have to go minister to these broken people. Help them get up. After a while, the believer is walking more than he's falling. Now, if you can't identify with that, you haven't had on the same walk I did. There's no condemnation for falling down while we're growing up in Christ. And we will be continually growing. I grow daily in Christ. He reveals things to me daily. New and exciting things daily. However, for the fathers and our mothers who are empowered to teach and separate the ascension gifts, there's more accountability. Once God puts you in the office, you're more accountable than you were yesterday. what I mentioned to our church before we started, for those of you on the internet, was 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6. God informs us he has three categories of spiritual gifts, each from a specific member of the Godhead. 1 Corinthians 12, 4. There are diversities of gifts by the same Holy Spirit. 12, 5. There are diversities of administrations by the same Lord Jesus. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which works all in all. Holy Spirit, Spirit of Jesus, Spirit of God, and the church. One of the things why there's so much frustration over the gifts and why there's so much frustration is where people are in their callings and so much frustration of what to do with their gifts and callings and how to operate in it is they do not know the operations of God. And Lord, open that up to be loud and clear on this trip. The ascension gifts are the gift of Christ to the church through the offices. For unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, right now, we got everybody wanting to be an apostle. Mm-hmm. The diversity of operations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of Jesus Christ from the same Godhead, which works all in all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit all, not you. Mm-hmm. Jesus will bless you because he loves you. But whatever gift you have is to profit the whole body of Christ. First chapter of Romans began with the entire world condemned before God. And for a Christian to be condemned for sin, Jesus would also have to be condemned. As we grow up in Christ, we're going to stumble and fall. And this is not to say that sin is harmless. If we don't confess it, it can break our fellowship with God, and we will reap what we sow. However, it cannot break our sonship.
Amen.
Sin cannot break our sonship. If you had a child that went off into the world, like the prodigal, and they're off in the world, are they still your sons or daughters?
Yes.
They're still blood kin to you. Now, I mean, you may be the hardest one of them, but they're still your blood kin. We're still blood kin to God the Father. We're blood kin.
Hallelujah.
To the blood of Jesus Christ. Sin can also rob us of our joy, hinder our growth, reduce our blessings and rewards. But it cannot take us out of Christ. Nothing can do that except we choose to take ourselves out. We've been transferred by adoption of the Adam family to the family of God. For us to be condemned now, Jesus would have to be condemned. Anyone seeking to take us out of Christ would have to overpower him first. We are as safe as the strength of Jesus. Will he allow us to be tested? Yes. We were talking about lately that Satan, if he wants to sift you, he has to go to Father God and ask permission to sift you. And if you're sifted, and I'm sure, I asked for a show of hands in Mississippi how many people have been sifted, and one of them raised their hand. I said, well, that's a badge of honor. Because that means Satan had to go to God and ask permission to sift you because you were a threat to the kingdom of God. And because you were a threat, he wanted to sift you because he thought you might not make it through. Some haven't. We need to go get them and pull them out. As in the natural realm, there are higher and lower laws than the spiritual realm. When we switched families, the lower law of death in Adam is overruled by the higher law of life in Christ. Death no longer has power over us. There are no degrees of our union with Christ. We're either in him or not. What the law would not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled. God is having me preach on righteousness and holiness. And I preached on a message on righteousness and holiness in Mississippi. It was pretty much repent and get right, church. It's time to straighten out. The righteousness of the law was totally fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Okay, and he took your sin and he nailed it to the cross. He also gave you your righteousness. We know we studied about the gift of righteousness in chapter 5. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I said, your testimony is not how bad you have fallen or how bad you are. Your testimony is not how bad you were that God had to stretch himself to save you. Your testimony is that God saved you and you are now the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And you don't have any other testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Because he fulfilled the righteousness of the law. In him, the righteousness of the law by faith is fulfilled in us. Just like we receive our salvation by faith, right? You receive the Holy Spirit by faith. You receive your justification and consecration by faith. Each one of these, you've received it by faith, and then it happened. You begin to walk in it. Okay, so the righteousness of the law is also by faith. We receive it by faith. the lawmaker is inside of us. So we don't have to walk under the condemnation of the law of Moses, of the Old Testament. Because the righteousness of the law by faith is in us. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. 1 John 2:29. Man could not keep the law. Therefore, the law made man cry out to God for mercy. And God in turn provided a Savior. God's answer to human depravity. Someone kind of knock on that window there, would you? God's answer to human depravity is a new nature, a holy nature, Christ's own nature. Thank you. So there's the way, anyway, sharp. We have a competition in the kitchen here, yeah, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, I mentioned that earlier. We have a new nature, we have a holy nature, and we have Christ's own nature in us. Now the church is going to have to walk like this and talk like this and act like this and move like this. Because he's going to bring forth something that's going to be so incredible on the earth, we keep hearing it. And the word I got was that it's something so powerful and incredible is going to happen that we're just going to be in awe. Amen. So we got to have to get ready for it. When I was saved, I received Christ's nature by faith. By faith. And due to the sin of Adam, man was born with a corrupt nature. But now we have a godly nature. You don't confess your bad nature. You don't confess your temper. You don't confess your failure this week. You don't go around and say, oh, I said an ugly word this week. You don't go around and say, oh, I spent too much money this week. Okay, that is your corrupt nature. You confess your godly nature. I have Christ in me. I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I walk as a woman of God, as we all should, as with Christ in me. I don't declare that I'm weak. I don't declare that I'm inadequate. I don't declare that I am adequate for whatever Christ called me to do. I want to mention, because I just put parentheses in here, the word says that Zechariah and Elizabeth were both righteous before God. That's what the word says. Walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Their son, John the Baptist, grew up in a home of righteous parents. Religious leaders were his converts. And they, along with the masses, humbly were immersed in baptism. We have homes again with righteous parents. Miracles will happen. And our children will bring them to repentance. When we have homes with righteous parents, will they rebel? They usually rebel and go the opposite direction. Sometimes children that are raised up in homes where the parents are heathen, they rebel and become Christians. Mm-hmm. But a lot of healing has to go on before they learn the operations of God. God sent Jesus into the world that everything required by the law might be fulfilled in us. Our souls have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Our external walk should reflect this internal holiness. And we will do this by surrendering to the Holy Spirit more and more each day. For I am the Lord your God, and you shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Christ was the first man to have a human nature and a divine nature. Until then, mankind only had a human nature. That didn't work out too well for Adam. As fully man and fully God, Jesus experienced the struggle of the flesh versus the spirit. For they that are after flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. The Bible speaks of three kinds of men. The natural, he's incapable of discerning spiritual things. You can take a ball bat and knock him in the head to try to tell him something, and he's just not going to get it. You're wasting your time and your breath and your energy. You're just wasting your breath. Carnal. This is a Christian who has Jesus as Savior, but not as his Lord. Mm-hmm. His nature is self-serving, selfish, and self-centered. Mm-hmm. They'll wear you out. Mm-hmm. It's all about me, me, me. Mm-hmm. My. Spiritual. A Christian who spends his life bringing glory to Jesus. He's progressively changed into the likeness of the Lord. And with his whole heart and all that he has, he is seeking after that likeness, not for his own glory, but that Jesus may be revealed to the world around him. Mm-hmm. Our nature is recognized by the fruit produced in our life. We choose the degree of our surrender. And both carnal and spiritual Christians have the faith to be saved. The difference is their surrender. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal man is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And we better go over this again. The carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But the law of God has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And the righteousness of the law is now in the spirit-filled Christian. But those who do not know the operations of God are those who are of a carnal mind, even though they're spirit-filled. Salvation does not change the old nature. As there's no peace for the man outside Christ, neither is there any peace for the carnal Christian who lives in the realm of their carnal soul. I know the debt. I have the debt of my carnal soul. I can almost tell you, I know where I was and I know what happened. And there was a blackness that came over my mind and I seemed to slip down into darkness. And I came up there and from there a new creation. Oh, I was saved, I was tongue-talking, I was spirit. You asked me, I could tell you every scripture in the Bible almost to what page it was on and the number. And I had the Holy Spirit and I could speak in tongues and I could prophesy to you. And I can tell you, thus saith the Lord. And I remember the day I died. It was the death of my carnal soul. I like me better now. Each time we yield to the old nature, we breathe again the deadly atmosphere of the flesh. And when our carnal soul dominates us, we slip back into that condition which is hostile to God. This is known as backsliding. Now, you can backslide into carnality, but you can backslide way back there. Of course, we know God's married to the backslider, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. Okay, the backslider has all kinds of error, but I listed a few things that you would know if you were beginning to backslide. A backslider grumbles at misfortune. Spirit-filled Christian, just like, hey, this is just a stepping stone into a greater way of glory. Mm-hmm. resents losses, and the result is bitterness in their life. Bitterness will take you to hell. Lose faith and face the spiritual battle. They give up on the first bad day. They give up on their marriages on the first bad day. They give up on their children on the first bad day. And they give up on their churches on the first bad day. Some of them give up on their jobs. They will run from the battle. They will not face it down. They scoff at the supernatural. They have no interest in reaching lost souls. They've got no interest in Bible study or corporate prayer. And they sneer at God's call on their life. But you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so, then the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I didn't write that. It's just written in there. Chapter 8, verse 9. You just do it whatever you want to. In verse 4, Paul spoke of walking in the Spirit as we surrender to the new nature. Here he speaks of living in the Spirit. Our walk is concerned with what we do, the other with who we are. You've heard me speak often. Christ in us, the hope of glory. But when we are in Christ, we are in the glory. And that's being in the Spirit. We may act like children of the devil at times, but we are the sons of God. Our souls are translated, not our bodies. Our five senses are still in the flesh, but can be quickened to hear, feel, smell, see, and taste the spiritual. As we're translated by the Holy Spirit into the kingdom of God, I said translated, we will experience the glory of God on earth as it is in heaven. In this verse, Paul says emphatically that if you do not have Christ, you do not have the Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings the benefits of the cross to us. Oh, we could write pages and pages on the benefits of the cross. It is He who applied the blood of Christ to our souls. Without that, no one can be saved. And we receive the gifts of the Spirit. And Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. This verse declares that we who have been born again of the Spirit of God carry Jesus in our heart. The Lord has made our hearts His dwelling place. We are His habitation. There are people preaching that it's good. They're preaching that we're coming out of the realm of visitation into habitation. But We don't have to go into this. You've already got it. And so there are times of visitation when Jesus will visit you when He's getting ready to move in your life in a different way. But He is always in habitation. And we should have reverence that our Lord lives in us. I said reverence. Do we take it for granted? We don't have reverence with our bodies, what we do with our bodies. We don't have reverence with the way we carry ourselves. We don't have reverence with what we're listening to or what we're seeing. We were bought with a price. He has divine ownership of us and all that we have. The righteousness of Christ imputed to us secures the carnal soul and body from death. The Holy Spirit preserves it, elevates it, and we become partakers of supernatural gifts of light, life, and love not possible to the carnal soul. The carnal soul is a jealous soul. The carnal soul is competitive. The carnal soul is angry a lot. But in the realm of the supernatural, there's no room for those things. Now we go in and we come out, okay? But once you've been in there and you come out, you're going to know when you're out of it. And you got to know how you better get back in there and what you're going to do to get there. And this is joy, peace, and righteousness of the kingdom of God. Since Jesus has promised us that we will appear with him, we will need glorified bodies for the occasion. The presence of the Holy Spirit in us is a pledge that these bodies now serving as his temple will be changed to conform to his glorious body. If the same Spirit who raised Jesus' body from the dead lives within us, that same Holy Spirit will raise us up to rule and reign with him in heavenly places, on earth as it is in heaven. I told the church in Hickory, I said the church in the United States of America took their authority during this last election, and they changed a whole nation.
Amen.
The church did. The remnant church. The Spirit of God within is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Oh, the greatness of God's gift. Oh, the vastness of the resources within us. And the Spirit that dwells within me is no mere influence, but a living person. I'm only an earthen vessel. But in this earthen vessel, I carry a treasure of unspeakable worth, even the Lord of glory.
Amen.
Now, this is your testimony. You want to know what your testimony is? This is your testimony. I carry within me a treasure of unspeakable worth, the Lord of glory. I have no other testimony to declare to the world. But he saved me. He filled me. He lives in me. Who I am today is who he is. I will not dishonor him by poor mouthing. I will not dishonor him by complaining about my life. I will not dishonor him by grumbling and moaning and groaning. I will not dishonor him because he lives in me. We surrender all without reservation. You know, many times as a child we go up to the altar, not just as I am, without one plea. We surrender all. When the Lord requires more responsibility from me, I have to spend some time dying again. I received a word from Daryl that they're going to call me to the table, governmental tables, and that I am going to be sitting at tables with representatives and leaders and city leaders, and I don't know how many kind of leaders he named off. I just looked at it. Do you think I was looking for that word? No. Do you think I want it? No. But if God calls me to it, I'll do it. Whatever it is. I don't even know what this looks like. I can't imagine. I wanted him to say we're going to have a great big revival, and that people are going to get saved, and people are going to get filled with the Holy Ghost, and we're going to just shout and go hallelujah, and we're going to just be floating up in heaven, and heaven's going to be floating with us, and we're going to have another church building, and we're just going to have a glorious time. That's what I wanted. He told me I'm going into another kind of battle that I've never been into before. I and then have a party. But I'll tell you one thing. If he calls me to it, he'll prepare me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only word I got, just so y'all know. And he doesn't know anything about me, and he wouldn't go up to this lady that he barely knows and give her some kind of word like that, unless the Spirit of God gave it to him, and I know it. Because we've heard this before. It's not the first time we've heard this. Mm-hmm. Okay, dear. Okay, let's, yes, Lord Jesus. This all is ourselves, our possessions, our businesses, our families, and our time. Oh, we're selfish with our time. I used to tell people years ago, I was raising children, I got a shortage of two things, time and money. We never have enough time. All we are and have become are His, to be held entirely at His disposal. We're His guests, His tenants, and His stewards. All direction of our lives and all control are committed to the Spirit, or it should be. If we do not give Him absolute authority, He is present, but the power and glory of the Spirit is quenched. And this is where the church is today. And this is why the power and glory of the Spirit is quenched in our services. When the Holy Spirit is given full liberty, then He can reproduce the life of Christ in us, and also in a corporate body of believers. God is daily waiting for a settlement of our controversies with Him. What are our controversies, our issues? What issues do you have that God has to settle for you? That's your controversy. Oh, me, nobody has had any controversies. I can trust the Holy Spirit to do in me what I cannot do myself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you. That word is stand still. Stand still. That means you don't fret, fuss, worry, you act out, stop, demand, carry on. Stand still. Just be. See the salvation of the Lord. You don't have to push. Just stand still. The Holy Spirit will bring us forth triumphant and victorious. The cross procured our salvation. The Spirit produces salvation in us for others. I live and yet no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. We should not think that we have a changed life, but an exchanged life. Christ being formed in me is reproduction. When the seed of His life is deposited in each of us by the Holy Spirit, we are to reproduce the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. God gave unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son now on earth. I can do all things in Him that strengthens me. Jesus is free from limitations, and so are we. How do we put these limitations on ourselves? We declare it, and we decree it. I say, I can't. I can't do this because I don't have enough money. I can't do this because I'm too old. Or I can't do this because I'm too young. I can't do this because of something else. We put the limitations on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Christ has no limitations to His work.
Mm-hmm.
In Romans 7, we learn that our intentions were good, but our actions contradicted. And the highest point the will can reach is that of willingness. I'm closing. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. But if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. We're under new management, a new owner, and a new government. And it's called the government of the kingdom of God. When a believer sets his heart to resist an impulse stirring in his own nature, the Spirit is ready to give back him back his power. However, that kind of power must be triggered by faith. Each one of these things that Paul has revealed to us in the book of Romans comes to us by faith we receive it. And then once we walk in that faith, then it will become it. The instant we're tempted by Satan, we must will to not sin, and we must trust the Holy Spirit to help us overcome the desire behind that particular sin. And this is called spiritual warfare. It's where we apply the reckoning technique. For as many of us are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have received the Spirit of adoption. I said Spirit of adoption. That is part of the nature of the Holy Spirit, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit of adoption produces sonship. And the Spirit of sonship guarantees we will reach adulthood. Our Heavenly Father will reveal our sonship to the world. And the receiving of the Spirit of adoption leads us to a place to enjoy our privileges. We are entrusted with the kingdom of God. The throne of grace is our home. And it's where our Father lives. Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. As we come to the last half of this chapter next week, Paul leads us in the revelation of glorification. We are God's children. And when we're born again, we're now God's sons of earth. Within us is an audible witness, which is beyond the comprehension of the unsaved. I gave a word while I was preaching, I was just rolling. I wasn't teaching like this. I'm just preaching. I never get a note. That God has reserves of those who are elect set back for this to bring in this revival. And the Lord's bringing his reserves in.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Wow. Some of you are part of the reserves that God's been preparing. And now he's going to be bringing those reserves forth. And man operates in two levels, conscious and unconscious. And even when we're distracted, not listening to the Holy Spirit on the conscious level, then he speaks to us in dreams and visions of the night. And once you have your gift, it is operating regardless. Let's say you're in a state of collapse physically. Well, we got Carolyn Vetter was a witness of that. She had a stroke and she couldn't talk, but she could sing and sing in tongues and sing songs of the Lord, and she could play the keyboard, but she couldn't talk. You know why? Even though her physical body shut down, the Spirit of God in her did not shut down.
Yeah.
I've been witnessing to a gentleman who has been in a total collapsed state, of just about as collapsed as you can get. He's been in bad shape, emotionally, in every other kind of way. But he's got a gift in him. It's an intercession. The man can pray in tongues for 8 hours and not stop. But if he opens his mouth, you think he's, in physical shape. But he could sit and pray in tongues for 8 hours. The gift of intercession is still there.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you mean by reserves?
Some of those people are in reserves that have, and they're going through a sifting.
Yeah.
Through through our faith and believing what the Spirit is saying, we then witness the supernatural manifestations of miracles in the natural realm. You know, faith realm went too far out. All right. Every pendulum springs too far out. And it springs in the middle. But faith means that I believe what God said. Mm-hmm. And faith means that I believe that I am who God said I am.
Amen. Amen.
And faith says that what God used, God says I am, I am. God says I am, that I am. Okay, if he is I am, that I am, then I am who he says I am. And even our human mind is coming to nature from supernatural. We have our taproot in an eternal, self-existent, rational being who we call God. Your mind came to you from supernatural, from God. Okay, all of your walk that he's bringing you to, he's bringing you back into himself. He sent you into the world to bring him back into himself. If you're going to be brought back into himself, do you not think he's going to give you his mind? Mm. Okay. Next week, Paul continues to lead us in this study of the reality of the glory which shall be revealed in us. I got a note at the bottom here. I forgot to write it off. Sometimes I make myself notes and I add them in or I might not. But the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the body. Who knows the spirit of man that goes upward and the spirit of the beast that goes downward to the earth? That's pretty good. For man knows the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God.
Amen.
If you have the Spirit of God, you're his blood kin, you're his blessed child. All of the fullness of the Godhead rests in you. But I see right now, by what I experienced this weekend, that we need, that there's another way to present the Spirit of God moving in the church. Is that we taught on the gifts. This church, everybody in this church operates in the gifts. We're operating in the gifts. All the offices operate in this church. But where the church is getting frustrated is they do not know the operations of the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. And how the Spirit operates within the body. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to ask the Lord to show me that in such a way that the body can come into such perfect union, yes, and unity,
yes,
with all of the gifts of the Spirit operating.
Yes.
The Bible clearly states operations out of the Spirit are by God the Father. Okay, so we got it? But we've got to fine-tune this operation.
Yes. Amen.